No one ever got rich following Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Some people got out of debt, but they had to suffer for it usually. You have to live on rice and beans, sell your car and ride a bicycle, you know, and stuff like that. I mean,
and
that's
God
just
forbid not... you eat out even, you know, on date night or date month. You know, give people a break. It's like, okay, $100 steak dinners every day. Yes, no one should do that. Going out once a month for $50 just to treat yourself, that's not going to put you in bankruptcy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Are you tired of trying to keep ahead in the rat race, only to have so much of your hard-earned money going to the tax collector? Equity doesn't pay the bills. Retirement savings don't pay you now, and there are only 24 hours in a day to work. The only solution is passive income that pays you 24/7 now, not 40 years from now. From vetted investment opportunities to tax-saving strategies, let John guide you through all the confusion and take control of your financial life in pursuit of financial freedom. So sit back, relax, and welcome to the Wealth and Freedom Nexus.
For investors seeking DSCR financing, check out TimothyHero.com. The guy has closed over 150 DSCR loans in the last 2 years and has been appearing on podcasts and written about by journalists. He's well-connected with some of the best lenders in the game and can get you the financing for your rental properties. Are you sick and tired of your day job? Do you think that there might be more to life than to live and die by the 9-to-5? If so, you are not alone. I left my safe and secure job in 2019, and since then I have met many entrepreneurs that have done the same thing. If you've enjoyed the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast for the educational news, tune into my YouTube channel for the inspirational stories on how you can say, screw the W-2. Go to youtube.com/WFreedomNexus and look for the Screw the W-2 playlist. New episodes drop every Saturday and later this year will be released on all popular podcast platforms. As always, this is John Rickard, investor, educator, realtor, helping you find your way to wealth and freedom. Hey, welcome back to the WFN podcast. As always, I am John Rickern, your host, investor, educator, and realtor. Hard to believe this is episode 84. Geez, going to have episode 100 before we know it. And just want to throw out a little teaser for my listeners that I'm going to have a really special episode lined up for that. So if this is your first time joining us, be sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you never miss out on an episode. At the time of this recording, we are actually nearing 200,000 downloads across over 150 countries. You know, it's always interesting to see the stats come with those utilizing Buzzsprout. If anyone out there is interested in starting a podcast, I highly recommend Buzzsprout. It's been very beneficial to me. But, you know, for instance, well, no surprise, the United States has the most downloads, but numbers 2 through 7 are Canada, Portugal, Mexico, and Sweden in that order. Go figure. Other cities that popped up, places I have never even heard of, like Dulles, Virginia, or Germantown, Tennessee, or, well, this is an interesting one, Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. That was an interesting one that popped up. So, you know, again, for all the listeners out there, you know, wherever you are, thank you again for the listenership, sponsorship. It really means a lot to me. And if you haven't already, be sure, especially if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, feel free to go in and leave a 5-star review, leave a rating. That really helps with the algorithms to help more people find this podcast. Hopefully the audio is coming through here, but you might have noticed there is a faint Ghostbusters theme song playing in the background. So yes, there is a little bit of nostalgia on that. That's one of my favorite movies from growing up, but also relates to our guest who calls himself the Debt Buster. Now, you might have noticed, you know, from news stories, social media, good old, you know, Federal Reserve with Uncle Jerome Powell, while interest rates have gone up, credit card balances are going up. Delinquencies are on the rise, and generally speaking, you know, I'm talking about society, While we do need debt, society, the economy needs debt. Debt is a problem for many Americans and, well, really people around the globe. Just a week ago, I'll try to find a link for that and put in the show notes, there was a multifamily syndicator defaulted on, I think it was 3,200 unit complex in Houston, Texas. You know, I'm sure they're underwriting the deal just not all that well and wasn't expecting a, you know, hike of 3% going to 7% or whatever the heck happened. But, you know, that's a, you know, pretty big sting to, well, anyone really. And even here in little old Marshall, Minnesota, population, I think around 13,000, saw a notice of default for a property in the Marshall Independent recently. Original loan back in 2017 was $137,000. And now the outstanding balance is $157,000. $20,000 increase in 5 years. I mean, well, geez, even an interest-only loan should have kept the balance the same. But, you know, you start missing payments and have the interest compound, you know, probably the property taxes roped in there. It's just a, you know, big issue. So with that, my guest is a good friend of mine, Murray the Debt Buster, who has helped hundreds of people pay off their debt quicker and even get out of debt without, I just want to state again, without changing their lifestyle or their budget and, you know, not subjecting themselves to a lifestyle of eating nothing but rice and beans like Dave Ramsey proposes. So with that, we will get into our interview with Murray after a word from our valued sponsors. Murray, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, John. Nice to be here. Thank you. I'm humbled by your awesomeness.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's amazing how this podcast kind of took a life of its own. And I'm glad we can, yet again, for longtime listeners, Yona Weiss on, I should know this off the top of my head, episode 12 and 50-something or 60-something beginning of the year. Yona Weiss, LinkedIn Challenge. Lord of the LinkedIn, as I dubbed him, Murray was another individual that I met through that. So thank you, Yona. And with that, I'm glad we, Murray and I connected so we could put this podcast together. So
it's awesome. There's a whole ecosystem surrounding Yona, which, you know, his mantra is your network is your net worth.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Last I looked at his profile, I think he's up to 25,000 followers. It's like, boy, if I could crack 5,000, I would be ecstatic. He's a lot farther ahead.
And he does it the right way, too. He's not just, he's a real legit guy.
Exactly. Well, now, Murray, you know, before we get started and obviously, you know, dive into what you do for your customers, can you give us, my listeners, you know, brief backstory on yourself?
Brief backstory. So my dad was in the Army. So I was an Army brat for 20 years. We traveled everywhere. I was born in Puerto Rico.
And I didn't know that.
Lived 10 years in Germany. So then he always said, if you don't know what you want to do for a living, join the Army. So I went ROTC in college. I went to Notre Dame, got a ROTC scholarship. And although this has nothing to do with anything, a cool fact is that I was a freshman at the game that Rudy actually played in. I don't know if you ever seen
it. Oh, interesting.
You know, the end of the movie where he actually gets into the game?
Sure.
And we didn't know what the hell was going on, you know? We were just sitting there. But we all were chanting Rudy.
Okay.
Just because, you know, how college kids just
Right.
And so we read about it the next day, like, you know, what's going on? And then, 10 years later, I was at another game, and at halftime, they carted everybody off and then brought in all these actors that played that last 5 minute scene, you know, of the actual game during halftime of a real game. So that was pretty cool. Anyway,
gotcha.
So I went in the Army 5 years. I was a Cold War veteran, which means, you know, I was stationed in Germany minutes from the Russian border. It was actually East Germany back then.
Oh, okay.
And which effectively was Russia, you know. And so we were like 20 minutes from the border. So it was, luckily I didn't think about it too much. Well, and then I had about a 30, 40 year career as a corporate financial executive at three different Fortune 500 companies.
Wow.
And 3 years ago, I took an early retirement. So I am 65 right now and enjoying being an entrepreneur where I feel like I can really do. I enjoyed the corporate work, but it's a lot more gratifying to actually help real people, you know, and so it's a completely different mindset, you know.
Sure.
It's pretty wild.
Helping people, not necessarily helping the bottom line for a company, so to speak.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's a whole different vibe. Exactly. Yeah.
So now, Murray, you know, like I alluded to in the intro, you know, before we kind of dive deep into what you're doing for people, usually there's always a, you know, like a backstory, but how did you
become the debt buster? What was the, you know, reasoning or path that led you to that? So
that's actually a good story. So great question. And I don't want to sound like it just lines up so well with what I used to do. So I used to be a financial executive. I was in charge of, I was a controller responsible for the cost of goods sold.
Okay.
In three different high-tech manufacturing companies. Okay. We made semiconductors in the last two. Texas Instruments, I know you heard of them.
Yep.
And before that, I was with Raytheon, which was making electronic defense systems. Yep. I was on the Patriot missile line for a while. But anyway, the team I had, and it wasn't me, you know, I had smart people working for me. I was the only guy who could talk to people face to face without looking at your shoes.
Oh, gotcha.
But I had a bunch of real smart guys that did most of the work. We saved tens of millions of dollars. And I'm not trying to brag. There's a reason I'm telling you this. We saved tens of millions of dollars in the cost of goods sold line. And the irony of that is I didn't know how a mortgage worked. So business finance and operational finance is completely different than personal finance.
Gotcha.
Having said that, you know, I do like to tell people I've worked in finance. It gives me a little bit of credibility, but it's
sure.
But I'm going to pull back the curtain and admit that I didn't have a clue. So I had refinanced my mortgage twice, mm-hmm. with the sole purpose of getting a lower payment every
right.
month, so I could get back when rates were going down. In
yep.
the old days, right?
Yeah, we haven't had that here in the last 12, 15 months now.
Yeah. So, but I only looked at that little piece of it. You know, there's a bunch of moving parts. And this is just stupidity. Stupidity. You know, it didn't dawn on me what I was really paying in interest. It didn't dawn on me. I mean, I wasn't looking at it from this angle. I knew I was starting the clock all over again, you know, and mm-hmm. starting a new 30 years. But I didn't even think about that. You know, I was only looking yeah. at the short term, you know, and I think
yeah.
a lot of people
do
that.
$700 payment and it is now $650 or whatever the numbers were.
100%. So, I mean, it did work out for me in a way that I was lowering my payment. But now when I took an early, so that was back when I was working as
sure.
in a corporate world. So when I took an early retirement at age 62, now I'm going to look at that mortgage. I'm asking a different question that I had asked. And that is, when am I going to pay this sucker off?
You know,
I'm
62. Yep.
The last thing I want to do when I'm retired is pay for some big mortgage.
Yeah.
And I was horrified when the realization that I wasn't going to pay it off till I'm 80.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the lowest point of my career, of my life
wow.
financially. You know, it was like a punch in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And I got physically ill. I couldn't sleep. It was a tough conversation with my wife. I'm supposed to be the finance guy, you know?
Yeah.
And just, it was awful. Mm-hmm. So luckily there's the internet now. I found this program, which was an award-winning program. And one of the things about it, which we can talk about it, we don't have to, was it was given an award by Ernst & Young.
Okay.
For Entrepreneur of the Year. It's a small company behind this program. And I used to work with Ernst & Young for over 35 years. They were my auditor.
Mm.
They were always in my underwear. And I was always trying to get rid of them, you know, so I could do my job. But, you know, that the job of big corporate accountants is to make sure all your numbers are lined up. Their entire business is based on credibility. They have to mm-hmm. be right.
Yeah.
And that's why we hire them, is so they make sure we're not doing anything, you know, shaky, and we have the trust of the investors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that they had given an award to this company that made this program, that was that sold the deal for me. So I became a client.
Okay.
And there's nothing else like this. We'll talk more about it, but I'm on track to eliminate $110,000 of interest.
Wow.
Without changing my budget
mm-hmm.
or my lifestyle, and also eliminate 23 years of debt. So it's going to go from 30 down to 7.
Wow.
Without changing my budget. Okay. And it doesn't work just on mortgages. We talk about mortgages the most because it's typically somebody's biggest debt.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's got a very onerous, is that the right word? The way interest is calculated is very misleading.
Exactly.
And so... we talk about mortgages a lot, but it works for all debt. And so anyway, mm-hmm. I became a client, and I just was blown away. You know, this is just, and they're, you know, they're a very small company. Not, hardly anybody knows about this.
Sure.
So thank you for the opportunity to share this. And so I became an agent as well. You could become, you can, I wanted to share this with a lot of people and you don't have to have a license to share it. And so I am spreading the gospel of, you know, how to eliminate debt, and Debt Busters was simply a branding thing. That
gotcha.
You know, I heard that somebody was talking about it. I go, that'd be, I think they were, we were talking about Ghostbusters.
Right? Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Remember the old movie anyway. Yep. So anyway, that's the backstory.
Okay. Sounds good. So then kind of like what you alluded to, maybe at the most simplistic explanation is you bust debt. You're a debt buster. You help people break apart, bust their debt, essentially.
That's in a nutshell. Yes.
Okay.
And a lot of it is education.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll agree. They don't really teach this stuff in school.
No.
Here, if anybody listening to this has one takeaway, here's the takeaway. And maybe everyone knows this, but you probably didn't think about it this way. And this is something I didn't know. And I'm a finance guy. So because I didn't know it, I just assume a lot of people just don't know. So every debt has interest rates and terms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. But the math behind what you actually pay and the type of, you know, payments and all that and how much interest you're actually going to pay is completely different between a mortgage versus a personal loan versus a credit card, you know, debt versus student loans versus a line of credit. Mm-hmm. You can't compare a 3% car loan with a 3% mortgage because the math is completely different. And they all have pros and cons. Most of them have cons. For example, a credit card payment. You can get over on credit cards, as you know, if you pay the whole bill off. That, you know, that would be every month. That's ideal because you're getting free money.
Exactly. And the rewards and perks.
And the rewards. Highly recommend you do that.
Yeah.
But the anybody who's making minimum payments, you need to know that the math is designed so you'll never pay it off.
Yep.
you know what I mean? So they all have these little quirks. And so you need to know that so you can make better decisions. You need to know that so you can make better decisions because it makes a big difference.
Sure.
And that's what our program does. It's cognizant of all these different, of all the math. Mm-hmm. And it works like a financial GPS. We'll get into that. And it will get you debt-free as fast as mathematically possible. So,
And I think that's, you know, one of the taglines I've, you know, heard you say and I've seen on your LinkedIn post. It's, you know, because a lot of people think, well, this must just be some voodoo magic, whatchamacall. But you say it comes down to math. It's not magic. And I, you know, you've kind of alluded to, you know, it's just how interest is calculated. And you know, we're not taught this. I certainly wasn't taught this in school. You weren't taught this in school. I doubt they're teaching it in school now, but, you know, can you give us a, you know, little, I don't know, just like an entry level example of how the math works? And then how do people, you know, how can you help kind of turn the tables, so to speak?
We'll be right back.
Are you somebody that's been dealing with betrayal trauma? Are you somebody that has a really giant heart and you want to give back to this world, but you're not sure how you can do that because your trust has been broken? Well, I've got good news for you. I have the perfect podcast for you to come and listen to. It's called The Other Side of the Struggle, Healing from Betrayal Trauma by Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching. Come learn how to trust again. Come learn how to open up that giant heart and heal from your betrayal trauma at The Other Side of the Struggle on all major platforms.
So on a mortgage is called, and you know, there's no quiz here at the end of this, so you don't have to memorize
it, but
a mortgage is called a closed-end amortized loan.
Okay.
By the way, here's a fun fact. The word mort means death in Latin. You knew that.
Yep. Right? Yeah, I've known that for years, but yeah, it's very, fitting. It's like pay until you die, pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah, not a coincidence there. It means death pledge mortgage. But anyway, it's a closed-end amortized loan. Closed-end means you borrow it once, and that's the loan, as opposed to an open-ended loan, which means you can, like a credit card, you can keep,
right,
you know, or a line of credit. You know, those are both open-ended. And then amortize means the formula is very complex. Let's just say that without boring and getting everybody a headache.
Sure. But
it's not simple interest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you, and here's the second point I would like to leave people with. If you have a mortgage, and a lot of people were smart and got a nice mortgage under 3%,
mm-hmm.
you know, before everything started.
Yep, me as well.
Good for you. So let's say, what is your interest rate, if you don't mind me?
Well, I got several investment properties, but my lowest.
On your home.
My home. Okay. 2.375.
That is the best rate I've ever heard. So okay. Congratulations.
I have heard 1.8, but I have not seen that person.
Wow.
I was on some blog. Who knows if it was true, but that's the lowest I ever heard.
So don't get me wrong. Obviously, you want a lower interest rate, mm-hmm. obviously, right? But, and I know this is for the purposes of this call.
Sure.
If you look at the amount, if you look at every payment you're making, which is called an amortization schedule, right? It lays out, I assume it's a 30-year loan. It lays out 360 payments.
Yeah.
And it tells you every payment's the same if you follow it, but the mix of how much is interest and how much is principal mm-hmm. changes as you go.
Exactly.
And what a coincidence, it's heavy interest at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another historical fact. It didn't always be like that. In the 60s and 70s, it was a different formula, and banks figured out that the average mortgage only lasted about 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
People would either refinance or they'd move.
Yeah.
So they came up with this. Now, you use the word voodoo. I like to use the word voodoo. They came up with this voodoo math so that the interest is heavily, you know, paid at the beginning. What a coincidence when people, you know. So anyway, the point I wanted to make on mortgages is if you look at overall the percentage of interest you're actually paying, it's a hell of a lot more than 2.375.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to say it's closer to like 60, maybe 50. If you follow the payment plan they want you to pay, they want you mm-hmm. to do. Okay. So that's a little tip. All right. So I hear guys say, you know, why would I want to pay off my mortgage? It's like free money. I just got a 2.5% loan. Well, that would be a great, I mean, don't get me wrong. You need mortgages,
mm-hmm.
but it's not 2.5. You're really paying closer to 60.
Yeah.
And so it's not free money.
Oh,
and so you need to run the numbers and see how much you can save in interest if you start paying more off faster versus what are you going to get on return if you invest that money? You
mm-hmm.
know, you got to look at the numbers. You can't assume because the math is different.
Yeah.
It's like comparing, you know, kilometers versus miles, you know, you got to convert.
No, most of my listeners are in the U.S. Let's not, you know, confuse them with the metric system here, Mary.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, right? So, and another tip, I don't know if you ever heard of the velocity banking. Have you ever heard of that?
Yep. Yeah. Velocity of money, velocity banking. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was actually popularized because of our program.
Okay.
And tell me if I'm going too long on this topic, but
you're fine.
It's intriguing because a line of credit, which that is a HELOC, velocity banking uses a HELOC, home equity mm-hmm. credit, or it could also use any kind of line of credit if it's set up right.
Yeah.
That's an open-ended loan and it uses simple interest on an average daily balance. And so there is a way. You can Google velocity banking and, you know, there's plenty of YouTube videos on it. You could mm-hmm. do it on your own. Okay. You got to be careful, but there's a way to borrow against your line of credit and use that money, which is debt.
Yeah.
To pay off other debts, which have a more onerous, you know, much higher interest you're actually paying. So you can save.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, what's the word? Arbitrage, interest rate arbitrage. Right. And so, and you got to kind of you wouldn't want to take out your entire home loan on a line of credit. You do it like chunks at a time, you know, $5,000 at a whack or something like that. And our program optimizes that within your own income.
Okay.
So you're not overextended. But, you know, you can borrow, let's say you borrow $500 on your line of credit and you use that to pay off, make an extra $500 payment. You're saving a lot more interest by wiping out that mortgage than you are interest you're going to pay to that line of credit. And you just pay the line of credit as if it was your mortgage because you owed that anyway.
Sure.
So, without getting wrapped up into all the math, just yep. there's a way to leverage different types of debt against each other.
Right.
As one example of how our program would not, that's one example.
Sure.
Because the math is different. That's a long-winded answer to your question.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. And like you said, you know, all debt is, you know, different. It's calculated different. In most cases, it's going to be calculated to the bank's advantage, not to the consumer's advantage. And I think, you know, I think, like you said, it's a lot of, we just aren't educated on this. You know, I think just in our heads, and I mean, rates have been rising for a while. So let's just throw out, you know, 6%, you know, kind of more of a going rate, especially for mortgages now. You know, I think in our head, we think, okay, I just took a mortgage out for $100,000 on a home, which, okay, now the average home is $400,000 across the U.S. Well, let's just say $100,000. And okay, let's see, calculating this. Okay, I got 6%. And okay, 6% annually, I got a $100,000 loan, 6% of $100,000, $6,000 a year, give or take. Okay, it's amortized, blah, 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 blah. Okay, and then and just in their head, they think, okay, 6% of $100,000 is $6,000, spread that over 12 months, whatever. Okay, that's not bad. And, you know, like you said, hey, you got a 3%. Okay, it's now $3,000 versus $6,000 or whatever the number is. Mm-hmm. I don't think, I mean, if you took a poll, I don't think the average American knows that, you know, again, not all, but most cases, you take that interest rate, divide that by 365 days, or depending on how they're calculating it, you know, 360 days, you're essentially getting charged 8.055% interest on your, like you said, average daily balance. Mm-hmm. Here it is on the end of Friday. Here it is the end on Saturday, Sunday. You know, it's weekends and holidays as well. Yeah. And I don't know, do you think the banks have just done this, you know, hope we don't notice it? Or, you know, what do you think is the backstory on that?
Well, like I told you, they you know, the history of mortgages, but that wasn't the history, but a piece of history. It was they changed the formula because and they don't go out of their way to tell you that, but the consumer, you know, based on consumer uproar and legal stuff, if you've closed on a house in the last, I don't know, 10 years, you do have a truth in lending statement now at the close. So that is one of the result of people getting pissed off. Not that you can do anything about it, because but the point of that little document, which is stuffed in the middle of 8 inches, no one looks at because you don't have time to, you know, at close.
Yeah.
It said the lender is required to show you what you're actually going to end up paying in interest if you pay off the whole loan according to their schedule. And I can tell you, if your mortgage is 30 years, which is the most common, and it's somewhere around 5.5%, which is if you pay the whole thing off in 30 years, the actual interest you pay at 5.5% is the point where you pay off more interest than what you borrowed.
Interesting.
Okay. So if you follow the schedule, and the only way to save money on that is to pay off some of it early, you know, to the best that you can. Now, you can do some of this on your own, you know, make extra payments and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, and you can Google that online, and, you know, you have to decide, do the math and see if that makes sense for you or versus the investment. So,
And unfortunately, and I freely admit I'm one of those, you know, when you talk about math, you know, we think calculus and algebra that put us to sleep in high school, you know, forget all that. And if it's more than just basic addition and subtraction, we don't want to do it. And right, wrong, or indifferent, I think the banks take advantage of that. It's like, okay, the consumers don't know. They just want to know, I pay $950 a month on the mortgage payment. It's locked for 30 years. That's the end.
Then, they're looking, what's my payment? There's a focus on, you hit it on the head there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a focus on what is my payment versus what does it really cost?
Right.
And by the way, speaking of people who don't know this, I know mortgage officers who don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I shared this with somebody and she was so embarrassed. She got out of the industry.
Yeah.
She had been in it for 20 years, but the king of all voodoo math is car leasing deals. I mean, would you agree? I mean, you can't.
Yeah. I've never leased a car in my life.
Never. I mean, they're telling, for payments of only $399, you can get this BMW.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you. That's for, you know, for the rest of your life, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff they're missing.
And by the way, if you go over 12,000 miles, or whatever the annual allotment is, we're going to charge you.
Yeah.
I think it's up to $1 a mile. I've seen in some cases now.
Yeah.
So if that didn't work in the bank's favor, you wouldn't be seeing leasing ads all over the place.
Exactly.
Now that's all you see. When's the last time you actually saw an ad that actually said what the price of the car was? I mean, other than
it's
been a long time, right?
Now that you mention it, I don't think I can recall because I remember the 0% or as low as 0%.
As low as,
Not to say that everyone qualifies for it. Yeah, it's all payment versus outlay.
And now they come up with these marketing schemes. So in the furniture industry and related, you see there's no payments for 2 years, as if that's going to, or no interest for 2 years or whatever. Yeah. If you can pay it off in 2 years without the interest kicking in, you win. But most people don't do that. Most people fall for that trap and they end up paying through the nose.
Yeah. So. Well, it's just like you said, student loans. And I know we could probably do a podcast on that all alone. But I don't want to say it's a scam, but again, back to marketing, because all the students here, I don't have to make payments for whatever, 2, 3, 4 years, or as long as I'm in school or whatever. And then they think in their head, that must mean there's no interest accruing. There's no balance accumulation. It's like, no, just because you're not making a payment doesn't mean there isn't interest accruing. And then on the flip side, right, wrong, or indifferent, one of the things from the COVID pandemic, over 3 years since that's happened now, right, wrong, or indifferent, one of the things was, hey, we're pausing student loan payments. There's going to be no accrued interest. No,
yay, free money.
So my wife and I, we were down to mainly her doctorate and master's loan, but we were like, every payment we make, or almost every payment, I should say, would be principal only. So it's like, okay, you don't have to make a payment, but I think we're still going to continue this. Well, in 3 years' time, we cut her student loan balance almost 2/3. It was quite a, I don't know exactly, but almost 2/3. And then they had some report because they were like, well, we're thinking about extending it. No, we're going to pause it. Nope, we're going to kick it down the road again. Congress is good at kicking things down the road. But it's like, here we are, almost 3.5 years since they did it. And I think I read somewhere like only 12% of student loan borrowers actually took advantage of it, which is just mind-boggling to me.
They didn't really make that clear. You figured it out, but they didn't really tout that. Good for you. Good on you, though.
Yeah, because we looked at it and it was kind of nice to see it. Like you said, you're so used to seeing the amortization, like, hey, I made a $500 payment. Well, whatever, $350 goes to interest, only $150 goes to principal. But then when you're starting to see, my balance is the exact same as it was last month. Oh, I made a $500 payment. It actually dropped the balance $500. This is kind of cool.
Yeah. So yeah, student debt is criminal. We won't talk about it. Could do a whole podcast.
We can get into the government thing. It's like, we'll backstop and we'll guarantee it. If your child wants to get a undergrad in gender studies and take out a loan of $200,000 at a private school, sure, we'll fund that. No problem. But again, another podcast, another rant for that. Well, man, the last question I had for you, Murray, and I know we've, talked a lot about this, online, offline, in various discussions. You got the Ramsey camp where all debt is bad, pay off all debt, pay cash, never, do any of that, whatever. And my thinking, it's more of, there is good debt out there. There's ways to put debt in your favor. My 30-year fixed 4% mortgage is on cash flowing, appreciating real estate that my tenants pay down for me. I'm not going to say I won't ever, I'm going to wait 30 years, but I'm not exactly in a hurry to pay it off. Mm-hmm. My philosophy is you need to be in control of your debt, not have your debt control you. Would you agree with that? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I agree with you 1,000%. And there is good debt and bad debt. We need debt.
Yep.
Debt runs, the economy runs on debt. If there was no ability to borrow money, we would be in the Stone Age,
Yeah.
So, but you got to know what you're doing. And most people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And most terms are, they keep you in the dark.
Exactly.
So, you can just define good debt. Everyone has their own definition, but mine would be if it's an asset that increases in value or some kind of, then it's definitely, good debt. Most people have debt that's the reverse of that, Mm-hmm. So in terms of Dave Ramsey,
Fun fact, I only have 2,200 followers on Twitter. Dave Ramsey actually blocked me.
Wow. Congratulations. You've been doing something right.
I don't know exactly what I did to piss him off. And I actually poke more fun at him on Instagram, and I haven't been blocked there. But my fun fact I had to contribute.
That's
to
a great fun fact. Great fun fact. Congratulations. No, so Dave Ramsey, I mean, there is a small, there are some people that can benefit from his overall philosophy. I'll just say that. But I don't agree with much of what he does. And I will say he's a good marketer. And he makes a name for himself, but no one ever got rich following Dave Ramsey. Some people got out of debt, but they had to suffer for it. Usually, you have to live on rice and beans, sell your car and ride a bicycle, and stuff like that. I mean,
and
that's
God
just
forbid you eat out even on date night or date month. It's like, give people a break. It's like, okay, $100 steak dinners every day. Yes. No one should do that. Going out once a month for $50 just to treat yourself, that's not going to put you in bankruptcy. Sorry,
Dave. Yeah. So yes, if there is certain types of debt that are certainly worthwhile. And, investors certainly do that. I will say with our program, here's a plug. This is a clear, I'm clearly plugging this program.
Sure.
The beauty of this program is it does there's a forward-looking capability. Okay, it's not just the debt you have now, it's for your entire life. So, and you only buy it once. It's not a subscription model. You buy it and you got it. Okay. So, you could do my first client, who is now my partner. Here's a simple analogy. She doesn't have a mortgage, but she had a lot of credit cards and student debt. So, she got the program. And she did a what if? What if I'm investing in a 401k at my job? What if I decrease that by $100 a month or some number, and instead make that $100 available every month to pay down debt? And the program, you could do that, like a what if scenario.
Sure.
And we determined that the amount of interest she would save the first year would be like 5x, actually more than that, of what her 401k was going to give her over that same period. You know what I mean? So you can do that analogy. You see if it makes sense. Okay. Yeah. And that's not even talking taxes of her pulling it out. This is just, so you could do that. You could say, what if I wanted to get a HELOC, and you can put the HELOC into your whole financial scheme, and that will accelerate. The program will take advantage of the same math I described a few minutes ago, and that will help accelerate, because it's going to use that HELOC as a resource to leverage debt. And, so you could put that in and say, would a HELOC help me that much? What if I got a line of credit for 50 grand? And this is my other scenario. And you plug it in and say, because the HELOC doesn't cost anything until you start borrowing against it, right? So you could always, it's kind of nice to have that as a cushion anyway, in case something happens as an emergency fund. But so a lot, there's a setting you can figure out. What is it going to do for me to get a HELOC as far as my debt-free date? For real estate investors, my number one clients are not necessarily multifamily, because that's not a debt. That's a investment, right? But the guys who do, I think it's called the Burr method, where they buy properties and rent them out, right? So I have a guy who has like 13 mortgages on our program.
Wow.
And he was going to... He's an ex-military guy, too.
Okay.
He was going to buy another one every 4 years. That was his plan.
Okay.
And we put them all into our program, and it's accelerating the cash flow, just like most Burr people are doing, is they're using the rent of the paid for ones to pay off the mortgages of the new ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In essence. But our program optimizes all that. So now he's going to be able to buy a new property every 2 years instead of four.
Oh.
So, and basically without changing anything he's doing, not tapping into his lifestyle at all. So, so it's a great tool to do forecasting like that and to do what if scenarios. And it's like a financial GPS. Like, so let me ask you, would you ever go anywhere these days? And you're old enough to remember the map.
Yeah.
Back when there was map.
Can read a map. I have that skill too. So,
so in case you lose power, we'll call you up. So, but nowadays you got to have a GPS to drive, So this is like a financial GPS. It'll tell you where to move your money to get you to zero debt as fast as mathematically possible. And that's how that myth, that slogan came up.
Okay.
It's not myth, it's math. Yeah. I forget the sequence, but
no worries.
Yeah.
So sounds good. Well, this has been really enjoyable, Murray. And I know you and I could probably go on and talk for another hour or two on debt and Federal Reserve and student loans and Dave Ramsey and who knows what all else. But that being said, for any of my listeners, maybe, you know, especially in the environment we've had with the Feds has raised rates in the fastest pace in 40 years, maybe they're starting to have some financial struggles and they want to get control of their debt, possibly even eliminate their debt. What's the best way to reach out to you, learn about the program and get started?
The easiest way to remember, my name is hard to spell. So the easiest thing to do is to Google, is to search for Debt Buster on LinkedIn.
Debt Buster, okay.
On LinkedIn, okay? Even if you don't have a LinkedIn account, search for Debt Buster and you'll find me, Murray Bollier. Actually, my name will be in your notes probably, so you can use that.
Yep.
But we, you know, I would encourage everybody just to take a look at this and see what's possible. And if it's not possible, then don't worry about it. But we do run an analysis of your number and we'll see how much we can save you and how long. And you can decide whether it's worthwhile for you or not. But a lot of people don't know it's possible. So, you know, I've had a couple clients tear up on a Zoom call when I showed them what we could do, that they were just totally paralyzed. Because the real cost is the stress. And the opportunity costs.
Yeah.
Okay. If for people who don't know what that is, I know you do.
Oh yeah.
Whenever you spend money on something, the cost is typically greater because you could have used that to invest or to better yourself, and you spent it on something like a pair of shoes. For $100, really is like 110, because that's $100 you could have, you know, invested in something. So there's a massive opportunity cost that you are losing when you're paying banks interest.
Yeah.
And even though debt is necessary and it's, you know, it's helpful to the economy, it behooves you to understand what you're really paying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can avoid that, it's amazing how much the stress goes away when you have a path of steps to follow. The best, I'll just leave you with this. The best compliment I've had from a client is, you know, the thing I like the best about your program is I don't have to think about debt anymore. She's still in debt.
Right.
She has a way out. She says, now I just focus on my grandkids.
Nice.
And that was like, can I use your name? Which I'm not going to use her name, but that was pretty cool. So that's why I do what I do.
Sounds good. Well, I appreciate that. I know you've helped tackle millions in debt, and here's to busting millions of more debt as you go about this career. Murray, thanks again for coming on the show. It was great to catch up, and we'll have to
have you back
another time.
Please do. It was an honor. Thanks a lot, John.
You bet. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to share, rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.